Welcome to episode 109 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution, Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 11th and the 15th of August 2014.
You said that with a bit of a sigh there. You're a bit tired today.
Yeah, I'm very tired. I want to go to bed.
It's not even late though. I've been doing gardening today. Oh my gosh.
Gardening.
Yeah, pulling out weeds.
My mum helped you though, so it wasn't that hard.
Yeah, it was really, really hard. I'm tired. Yeah, I want to go back to school.
I remember that.
No, I don't. Okay, they mentioned going back to school three times on Coronation Street today.
They organised
it. The writers didn't realise that it's school
holidays. They obviously don't have children.
They're usually quite good at it, but I was quite surprised today when they mentioned it.
They obviously don't think that anyone else has them either.
No,
obviously. Like, who's going to know this? No one.
It's also the second anniversary of the podcast this weekend. This is
happy
our
anniversary
2 year anniversary
to
episode.
Oh, what do you get for anniversary?
Oh, nothing. Yeah. You get to do Jenna as a character profile.
Oh.
Yeah, that is how we're celebrating it this year. We're not. We can't celebrate every anniversary. So we're just mentioning it now.
We can't celebrate all the time.
No, we can't. But happy second birthday to us. Corrie history. 105 years ago since Annie Walker was born. See, we're only 2 years old this podcast, but Annie Walker is 105 this week, so I think she beats us out.
We'll catch up with her one day.
But she's dead, so we win, really.
30 years since Billy Walker kicked Fred G out of his home and job at the Rovers.
That's so sad. Gosh. 10 years ago since Dev declared his love to Sunita in front of his fiancée Maya.
Oh,
no wonder she went mad.
Bad idea.
And it was also the first appearance of Warren Baldwin 10 years ago. No, you don't.
5 years since Liz returned to Weatherfield after a 5 year stay with Andy in Spain.
I can't believe it's been 5 years that she's been back to Corrie and then gone off again and then she's been back.
I like her.
Doesn't know where. I'm glad that she's back, yeah.
Yeah, I want her to stay. And also, Becky was arrested on her wedding day to Steve 5 years ago after Slug planted drugs in her handbag.
I think Liz must have come back to Coronation Street for Steve and Becky's wedding.
Maybe.
This is the wedding that
usually
actually
they just phone up and say that they can't come.
Yeah, usually. So there we go. That's our Corrie history. Let's move on to this week's Coronation Street talk in Street Talk.
Street Talk time. There were six main storylines this week. We had the incompetent proposal.
Yeah.
Kirk and Beth finally taking our advice. And
yeah, this is our headline story this week because we're so happy with it.
We're so happy for them, and they better invite us to the ceremony, otherwise we will.
I wouldn't want to go to their wedding. I think it's going to be a bit of a disaster. But
there's probably going to be chips though.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was quite funny this week. I don't think there's a huge amount to talk about with it, but we'll kick that one off first. It's been quite funny. Then we've got a bit more of Barlow in the Big House at the beginning of this week, but not today, because in the storyline merged into Ken and Deirdre going off camping, so Corrie on camping, which will go into next week, I think. And we also had a bit more hidden husband heartache, which we'll talk about next. Although, of course, the big thing there was Jenna has left at last.
Oh, what?
So sad.
She's Jenna.
Don't know how Coronation Street's going to get on without her. She was such an important character.
She was pivotal in every scene.
And we're going to reuse the storyline title we did when Mandy left a year ago, Sayonara Kamara, because I quite like that one.
Yeah, good one. We have Mad Max continuing.
We didn't have Mad Max last week. That's the better name that you came up with.
Yeah.
Because it was better than what we had before.
He is still a bit of a troublesome child, and
chucking Lego down the stairs.
And
that was also, we also mentioned about Gail and Michael and stuff in that one.
Yep, and we've got Nick being a
Nick's tricks. I think we should call this him, because he tricked everyone with a brain.
Naughty Nick.
Brain aneurysm today.
Nasty Nick, obviously.
And Tycoon Todd as well. We have at the end. So.
Let's start off.
Should we start off with Kirk and Beth?
Yes, that's right. Now, Kirk is trying to think of how to propose to Beth, but Sinead warns him that Auntie Beth has had quite a few proposals over the years, and he should really try to go a bit low key because up to this point they've all been utter disasters.
I'm glad that they kind of went down the comedy route for this proposal
storyline. What else could they have done?
Yeah, well, they had it like with. I think whenever like Kirk or Tyrone or Fizz or any of that lot have had proposals, it's always been a bit bit of a funny moment. But yeah, he wants to. It was basically the story was different ways of almost getting there to propose, but not quite. But also, there could be a bit of romance on the cards for Craig as well, it seems, in that storyline. Well, he fancies this girl, Davina. But actually, no, he was going to go and bring her soap, but in the end, she blew him off, didn't she? She went to see someone else.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Craig
getting a bit of getting a fleshed out character.
Yeah, absolutely. But he was well chuffed as well to hear that his mum was going to get proposed to as well.
That's right.
And Kirk goes off and buys a giant ring. Like it?
It's diamondette, isn't it? With diamonds around the outside and the shape of a heart. Yeah. And it's a giant. He wanted to get the biggest stone he could.
I wonder how much one of those would have cost. I assume Kirk doesn't have very much money. It was a bit tacky, wasn't it?
It's supposed to be 3 months of your wages, Kirk.
Well, I don't know how much. I don't know how much things like that would cost. yeah, so he's got this ring anyway, and Craig says he should just buy her a bag of chips in the cafe and propose, which is quite ironic, really, because at the end of the day, that's almost kinda what he did.
Well, Craig points out that Beth has an innate fondness for chips, so it couldn't really go wrong.
but yeah, it doesn't really work because they go to the cafe and Yasmin is organising some book reading thing.
Some child story group.
Yeah, because she's totally taken over.
She's basically decided cafe. That the cafe is a library now.
Yeah, which Roy obviously isn't happy with.
He never agreed to that.
Well, he liked the idea of having books there, and he's probably seen like other cafes that have little libraries there for the community. But Yasmin,
like a manga cafe.
Well, Yasmin doesn't really have a job anymore, does she? So she's got nothing better to do than, I don't know what she's doing all day apart from collecting books for everywhere to go in the cafe. But it's quite funny seeing her going over the top with it. But I don't know, it seems to almost run its course already.
I don't know what they're
developed
doing
much
with it,
this week. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Roy's kind of close to breaking point with it, but at the moment he's being polite enough. But yeah, they're having this story reading thing because it was summer holidays on Monday at least, and Beth and Kirk obviously don't know that this is going on, and Beth has to look after some little child. Yeah, well, basically they can't. It's not the right atmosphere to propose. Oh yeah, then they Kirk has to read a little story.
Kirk has to read a story, and basically the child's sitting on Beth's chair, and she's fidgeting around, and eventually she jumps up.
Good job we didn't try him on anything more complex than Three Little Pigs.
Exactly.
But I think he did quite a good job. He's good with children. They're on the same kind of level.
Aww.
Yeah, so then, the little, little child pulled Beth's chair away from her.
I think
she
it was
gets
Liam,
in.
Wasn't it?
No, it wasn't
Liam.
Liam was around there, yeah, but no, I think it was the other one, the one that she was looking after earlier. So she tumbles onto the floor, they go off, and the proposal doesn't happen. And then also Roy is...
tells Jasmine off.
Yeah, he comes back, and she hadn't told him that it was going to go on. So that was on Monday, and then Wednesday we had the second idea for the proposal, which was to cook a romantic meal,
which is
a good way of doing it.
This involves Craig wearing his school uniform to be a waiter and folding up the bog roll into the shape of a swan.
That was funny. And they even use the toilet roll as a little napkins. I like that.
Yeah, she tucks it into her blouse in the end. And has a can of lager. So Kirk decides to cook her a posh paella, but unfortunately it has got 12 teaspoons of chilli in it instead of half a teaspoon.
I can sympathise with you there, Kirk. This cooking malarkey is a bit difficult. I had to mix up a spicy...
What was it that you made that had too much chilli in it? But I didn't mind it.
I don't remember what it was. No, it is. It's hard.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was Wednesday. And on Friday, he's starting to get a bit desperate now because they're going on holiday any minute.
This holiday has been... they've been talking about it for months and months and months, haven't they? Because I thought the whole idea behind it was that with the money that Beth got from that bingo lady, they were going to go on holiday, and I just kind of assumed that it
happened
off screen.
Maybe they're like real life, where you actually plan a holiday months in advance and bore everyone to tears about it before you leave.
And I think I'm just used to people on Coronation Street just deciding, oh, let's go on holiday.
Let's move.
Up and off we go.
Let's
go. Like, let's
go
off camping trip, for example.
Exactly. So, anyway, Kirk's moping around about worrying about proposing to Beth, and she's starting to notice. She's starting to think that he is getting ready to dump her because he seems so unhappy. So Chesney tips Kirk off say, look, you better watch out because she's starting to suspect something. But Beth decides to rekindle their romance by inviting them out, to the bistro. So they both dress up and go off to go to the bistro to have a nice evening. Unfortunately, it's got a private function, so they get kicked out. And Beth decides to go and get completely drunk.
Because there's no other restaurants in the whole of Weatherfield.
No,
only one at a time. Apart from there are, because Steph said that there are other ones today. So I think that's a little continuity error.
Little tip there, definitely. So meanwhile, they sort of make up with each other because Beth says that she's worried and Kirk just says, oh, my head's all over the place. They start kissing and he pulls the ring out, but Beth marches off to go and get drunk. So then they end up getting a kebab and Kirk has the genius idea of putting the ring inside it so that when she tucks in, she'll find it and want to marry him. Unfortunately, first of all, she plows through it like she's never eaten before. And then she changes her mind.
I thought she was going to choke on it or something.
I think you're supposed to think that. Then she changes her mind and throws it in the bin because she wants to look sexy on the beach.
Yeah, so that's when he says, oh no, that's good. Well, we didn't see him say that was what the ring was. We just sort of cut back to them later and then they were rifling through the rubbish on the street and everyone was looking. It was oh so funny. And then they find it and have a mucky snog.
Well, Kirk kneels in the rubbish and proposes and she says, oh, it could have been more romantic, and gives him a snog. And they come back covered in chili sauce and garlic mayonnaise, completely ecstatic. And Craig reckons it's going to be the best holiday ever.
I don't know why he would think that. I would have thought that if, like, your mum's just got engaged to someone, that he's going to be told he's to be made scarce.
Worryingly supportive for a young teenage boy whose mum is embarking on a new romance.
I think he's just happy because he likes Kirk. And it's probably a case of there's been lots of men in the past and now she's finally found someone.
Oh, she's found the right man. Oh, that's so sweet.
So they were going to be off on holiday now, so we're not going to see much of that story.
Oh,
but
goodbye,
I'm teachers. Looking forward to a comedy wedding later on this year.
Yeah, it'd be so awesome if we were got to be in it.
Why do you keep thinking that we're going to be in it?
Because I am actually very good friends with the Tinker family.
No, you're not.
I am. When we were younger, Beth and I said that the first one to get married would be a bridesmaid to the other one. But unfortunately, I didn't invite her to mine, so I think she's probably going to snub me.
Shame.
Do you not notice that she wasn't there?
No, that's true.
Yeah.
You just have to watch it on the telly like everyone else.
Because she wasn't famous then. If I'd known she was going to be famous, I would definitely
have invited her. You're making it up. You're confusing people. Following the big heist.
Mm-hmm.
Another good one. We found out finally the name of the cellmate this week, didn't we? We were fed up of just writing cellmate in the notes. His name is Eugene Cleland.
Great name.
I don't know how we're going to remember that.
Sounds made up to me.
It was Peter's plea hearing on Monday, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Yes, and Ken is talking to Peter. He won't go there with legal counsel. He's still refusing to have a lawyer. So Ken's job on Monday was to try and find a new solicitor for him. But Ken's still the only one that actually believes that Peter's got a chance in hell of getting off of it, because everyone else is saying, oh, look, maybe Peter should just plead guilty.
To get a lesser sentence.
Yeah. So Ken's looking for somebody, but it's no good, because unless Peter wants to have legal advice, he can't get it, basically.
Well, yeah, you can't just force a solicitor on somebody. This is what Ken doesn't seem to understand. And Peter, meanwhile, is not helping his case because he's begging Jim for more alcohol so he can get drunk before his hearing, because he can't possibly face it without a drink inside him. Jim starts really teasing him and playing silly mind games with him. And Peter tells him that he's going to plead guilty when he goes to the hearing. And he also tells this to Ken when Ken comes to see him. And he says, everyone thinks I'm guilty, so I might as well plead it anyway.
What do you think about the way that they're characterising Jim now he's back? Because he's like, you don't know whether to trust him or not. Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Why would Jim give two figs about Peter? This is exactly how you would act, isn't it?
Yeah, well, really know him anyway.
I've seen Orange is the New Black. This is just how it is in prison, okay?
I like how, yeah, he's just using Peter. And I think what you said last week about Jim eventually wanting to use Peter to get back to Liz or something is probably
maybe
right. But I don't know whether he's a goodie or a baddie yet, but he's very good to watch.
It doesn't matter. He's not, he's his own man, isn't he?
He's a charming character.
No, he's his own person.
Yeah, he's just that. Yeah, he's in it for himself.
He's in
it
for himself. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he does manage to get talked out of.
Well, Jim manages to talk Peter out of pleading guilty, saying, "Look, you shouldn't want Simon to think you're guilty. You're just a coward, and you don't care about your family. And you think this is a walk in the park. You should know what you know what I've been through in here." So Peter goes to court, and I think we find out after the break. On Monday's episode, that he pleaded not guilty.
Yeah, which makes sense because it means that the trial's going to be more interesting.
Exactly, that's probably what he said.
Meanwhile, it's kind of in the same storyline. Michelle has offered to do wedding planning for Tracy and Rob. Well, she offers Rob, doesn't she? Because obviously Tracy would have said no straight away, but because Rob's mind is on other things at the moment, he thinks that that's going to be good to. He doesn't have to sort it out himself.
Somebody who's written this plot doesn't know anything about the wedding industry, because who would trust a wedding organiser who had a company that was also doing wedding transportation?
Well, I don't understand
why
we're...
And how can you run a pub and a wedding organisation company?
Well, she just said that since they've got this camper van, they've met some people in the wedding trade and they think that they can put it all together, but I'd be a bit nervous about putting, like, somebody new in charge of my wedding, especially somebody that's never been married themselves.
Well, yeah, and also, well, Michelle doesn't really seem to take it seriously. I'm surprised that she hasn't said she's going to sing it as well.
Yeah, that's probably going
to. She's probably like, I can do everything. Look, I've printed out a certificate from the internet, and now I can marry you myself.
So, what else did we have? Peter's...
And Michelle has dyed her hair brown
now. Oh, yeah, of course.
She looks a bit weird.
Jim goes to visit Peter and he's all shaky, he's getting withdrawal symptoms and everything, and basically tells him to pull himself together. So he does, goes back to see Jim.
This is just like Jim and Peter going backwards and forwards into each other's cells.
I wonder how far away their cells are supposed to be from each other, because they're always going to go and see each other, and it's a miracle they hadn't bumped into each other.
Excuse me, I thought prison was about being in a cell and being locked up, not wandering around willy-nilly wherever you fancy.
I know.
Oh, no wonder the country's gone to the dogs.
He goes to see Jim, and Jim's like, oh, maybe you'll be able to return me the favour. So Michelle smugly reveals to Tracy that Rob's agreed to let her plan the wedding, and Tracy marches over to him moaning, and is even more repulsed when she realises that they're actually going to be paying Michelle for this.
Well, Rob has got a good point here, because they actually own their own business, so every time they take time out to do stuff, they're losing money. They literally are losing money. It's easier just to get somebody else to do it.
What do you think Steve would think of organising Tracy's wedding, considering the history they've had together? Is he just going to be... I think
he'd just keep his nose out, wouldn't he?
I don't know whether he can. I mean, he's probably going to be the one that's ending up driving the van.
But he's a professional taxi driver. He can take his feelings out of his job.
I guess he's just going to be pleased to see Tracy married off to someone else. I don't think...
He'd be like, she's your problem now, mate. Surprised if that wouldn't be the line in the episode.
I don't think that Tracy's interested in Steve anymore. But there's still
she's head over heels.
There's still the potential for that to happen in the future if it all goes wrong. I think...
It might do. Do you think it might do, considering that he's secretly a murderer?
Yeah, I think so. I think it might go a little bit wrong. But Tracy... she just storms off in the end. Rob storms off. But Carla notices, who's also there, and then she has this little chat with Rob in the smoking shelter, and he's insisting that everything is fine.
Starting to unravel.
Well, yeah, at last, people are starting to realise that Rob is acting incredibly shifty and has been doing so for the last 2 months, so I'm glad that the storyline is turning a corner a little bit there. Wednesday, Peter is back having those withdrawal symptoms again. Jim comes in with a bit more of his booze. Where on earth is he getting it from? Because he seems to have an unlimited supply. It's like every episode.
Well, it does. They haven't said it, but it does look like it. He kind of insinuates that he's getting it smuggled in somehow. But it also looks like that kind of stuff that you... Is it called Pruno or something that you brew yourself in prison out of ketchup and old socks?
I don't know, it doesn't look very nice, whatever it is.
Peter doesn't care, he just wants to get drunk. And Jim says, I want a biscuit with chocolate if you want this, it's swap. And Peter says, okay, fine. But he doesn't have it right there, so Jim leaves him, basically, to shiver away.
But he can't get a biscuit, he has to get some sweets instead.
He steals sweets from his cellmate and brings him to Jim, who is unimpressed and says he wanted custard creams. Make your mind up, Jim.
Well, he was playing mind games there as well, wasn't he? Because he was like acting like these aren't good enough. You can't have your booze anymore. This isn't good enough. So, which is another like what we're saying about don't know whether to trust Jim or not.
Well, eventually Peter grovels, and so Jim gives in.
Yeah. Also, that episode we had. Tracy and Deirdre harping on about vegetarians, and Deirdre acting all traumatised about Ken's new lifestyle choice.
Yeah, well, she's traumatised about everything, really, isn't she? She's starting to show the stress of everything that she's been under all these months by herself. So Ken's cogs start to turn when Tracy tells Ken that Deirdre really needs a break.
Yeah. We also had Ken convincing Simon to say he'll go and visit Peter. I thought that they were going to go, they agreed they'd go next week, but obviously not anymore.
Well, Ken's buggered off, isn't he, now? So, and Eugene, in the final episode,
final scene
of this episode, finds out, well, for this storyline, that Peter stole his wine gums. Oh, and tells him, don't be indebted to McDonald. He's more worried about what's going on with Peter than the fact that he's stolen his wine gums.
Yeah, I was half expecting Eugene to turn on him, though, because he's been also like cheerful and cheery chappy so far. I thought he'd like beat Peter up or
something. I think they want him to be a nice bloke, but I don't really know why.
Nice bloke, but if you steal his wine gums.
What's he in there for, anyway?
I can't remember.
I don't think you're supposed to know.
No, they did. They said what his... Well, it was robbery or something. I can't remember. Arson. It was like a month ago. I can't even say it's remember.
Killing someone for stealing his wine gums.
Yeah. So Friday, we didn't have any prison scenes, but we did have Ken and Deirdre organising their holiday together, which was quite a funny scene with Deirdre suggesting all these places and Ken able to say straight away what was wrong with them.
Yeah.
Civil unrest in Thailand and
so
on.
Yeah, exactly. She wants to go somewhere hot with a beach where they don't kidnap English people.
Yeah. Do you think that they'll get that in
Wales? Why do they go to Wales then?
They don't like English people there. Ken tells Rob he's found the perfect holiday and he's going to surprise Deirdre with it later. We did know that it was going to be camping.
I don't agree this is camping.
Well, it's the great outdoors, isn't
camping
it?
Camping is a tent.
Caravanning then. Is that okay? Can we call it that?
Yes.
Rob is telling Deirdre that she should go to Nigeria or something, isn't she? And I don't think that that's the best place to go at the moment. What with the Ebola and everything.
Oh, yeah, nowhere. He said anywhere in North Africa would be great.
Well, she says, oh, I can't go to Africa because it reminds me of Samir.
Yeah.
20 years on, and Ken won't even eat couscous anymore, which is kind of a staple for vegetarians, isn't it?
So, what's he going to eat?
I don't know.
I have to eat bulgur wheat. It's quite nice, that, isn't it?
But they get interrupted by Ken pulling up with a caravan. I was just gobsmacked the fact that they actually had a car, one of the people on Coronation Street actually being seen driving a car. Where do they store it? Who knows? But yeah, it's got a caravan there. Deirdre, who just tells Ken like it is, it's not the sort of thing that I had in mind. So rude.
Yeah, but don't forget that Ken knows they're going to have a wonderful time because there's a laundrette nearby and a burial chamber, which I took as a veiled threat.
We will have a good time.
We will
time.
Have a nice time, Deirdre. So,
he's so insensitive, isn't he? I mean, he says that he did it so that he can be near to Peter.
I think that was his reason. But the thing is, though, you could... I mean, you're half a day... If you go anywhere in Europe, you're half a day away from coming back.
Exactly.
We were back from France, like, in a few hours.
I'd like to have seen them...
Especially if you fly straight into Manchester...
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then Steve would be right there with the
exactly,
airport.
Exactly, going, come on,
I would have liked to have seen them go on a comedy double holiday with the Tinkers. That could have been quite funny. Both going off on a holiday at the same time. Missed
DVD
opportunity.
Special.
Exactly, exactly. But yeah, that's pretty much it, isn't it? Oh, and apart from Tracy realising that they'll have the house with them for themselves, because she starts off telling Deirdre to stand her ground.
And then she changes her mind.
Yeah, when she realises all the stuff that she'll be able to get up to. Yeah. So that should be quite fun to see them on holiday.
Poor Eccles is all I can say.
What, being left alone with Rob and Tracy?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder with them away whether there's going to be something that goes on with the Tina murder plot. Because it's going to sort of refocus back on Rob and Tracy. It's either going to be something to do with the murder or Barlow's buys or something, the dodgy business. Is the dodgy business with Tony all stopped now? Tony's more interested in the
builder's yard, but I can't help but think he'll start meddling as soon. I think he's going to be involved in Rob's downfall somehow.
Yeah, I reckon so. So, yeah, let's move on to the next storyline. The Jenna's leaving her storyline.
Sayonara, Kamara.
Yeah. She's just miserable.
Jenna,
she's miserable
just sad on Monday. Because again. Andrea... And Lloyd wants Andrea to move in. And she is disgusted and stalks off. Neil comes up as Lloyd and Andrea are snogging on the street and starts saying, "Oh, I'm wearing the shirt you bought me. Oh, I don't blame you for wanting Lloyd, but it's not real because we're married. You can't just leave everything we've had together." And Andrea says, "Look, he's going to go away the other side of the world to work soon, so we don't have to put up with this very much longer."
Oh, yeah, he's off to the Philippines, isn't he? Next week.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it the Philippines?
I think it was the Philippines he's going off to, and yeah, because he invited her to go over there with him.
Well, oh, that's right, yeah. So I need to make Michael tell Lloyd that he needs to get Jenna and Andrea together for a meal to talk things through.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Jenna's biting everyone's heads off because she's so mad. And Andrea tells Eileen about Lloyd's plan to have her turn up unannounced in the meal.
Did those ever work?
Eileen says that it's a stupid idea.
That's a total soap cliche, isn't it? Trying to organise to get people together to talk on Coronation Street and only invite both of them and not say the other one's coming. It never works.
But I want to know, why do these people always get to go on like on nice little treats, meals out all the time? No one ever takes me out on a meal to ambush me with something.
We went to have a curry the other night.
You didn't ambush me with any bad news. It would have been exciting, wouldn't it? Anyway, after the break, Neil comes running up, like you said before, to tell Andrea that he's off to the Philippines next Monday for 12 months and she can come and they'll have a great time. And he still seems to think that there's going to be something between them and that she just needs to snap out of this little phase that she's going through. And she says, no, look, it's over, but he can't accept it.
I'm glad that he's off to the Philippines because he's not really been doing much recently apart from stalking around.
I really want him to do something crazy and dramatic before he goes, like set fire to something, take Andrea hostage. He should have killed Jenna because that would have been fine.
Oh yeah, that would have been a better, more exciting way for her to go. Yeah. There's still a chance because if he's going on Monday.
Yeah, I want him to do something really dramatic and cool.
Yeah, because he's a bit of a boring character now, isn't he? It'll be off. Jenna talked on that Monday episode that she's looking into sports therapy.
So... Well, she's trying to tell them about what she wants to do next in her life. No one's interested because Andrea's phone keeps ringing because Neil keeps trying to get in touch with her. And so eventually she just gets annoyed and storms off.
Yeah.
So Lloyd goes to confront Neil in the pub, which is where he is, fixing a necklace that he says is that he gave to Andrea ages ago and it's broken and he's been meaning to fix it. And will Lloyd please pass it on?
What do you think the deal with that necklace is?
I don't know, because I said to you at the time, isn't that going to be something really significant that like triggers some kind of really cherished memory that Andrea then starts to think about, oh, our life together means so much more than I realise. But no, she just goes, oh, this old thing, I forgot about this.
Yeah, it didn't seem to go anywhere, did it? Unless this is going to be part of his explosive exit on Monday.
Well, he did seem to think that she would, Andrew would genuinely be happy to have it back. So I kind of guess it's just illustrating his denial yet again, that he doesn't get it, that she doesn't want anything to do with him anymore.
Mm. It'd be funny if on Monday he did have a big exit that kind of was even more exciting than Jenna's exit. Just goes to the show, somebody who's been in the show for like 2 years gets back of the
Well,
taxi
look, you're giving
exit.
It away now.
Oh.
On Wednesday, Lloyd tells Jenna to make more of an effort with Andrea and everybody because they're all going to have a blast together because it's a great time. And he loves them both, and he doesn't know why they can't just get on. But Sophie tells Jenna that she's just being moody to everybody, and so she should move out and live her own life. So Jenna has an epiphany when she's helping Andrea move in and tells them that she's leaving.
Yeah, I'm going to Burnley.
No one cares, really. Or Burnley, I don't know.
Burnley, sorry.
Maybe I'm going to volunteer abroad. No one's listening. No one's listening.
She wants to go to her friends to sort out what she's going to do next.
No one cares.
I assume that she'd just go and live with Mandy.
Go away.
And that's the end of Jenna.
She just went.
So sad.
She gave everyone a hug and off she popped.
But it's just like, that's what always happens, isn't it? The characters just go from living a normal life to, I'm off now.
Well, here's a test, right? I know we're going to do a character profile on Jenna later on, But can you tell me, what is her personality?
Lesbian.
No, it's not a personality trait.
Intelligent.
Not a personality.
Quick to anger.
She doesn't have a personality, does she? Moody.
Moody, she's moody. Does that count as a personality?
Grumpy, same thing. No.
Untrusting.
She doesn't have a personality, that was the main issue. They didn't really know what they wanted her to be.
No, they brought her in as a character that was like, oh, let's have a girlfriend for Sophie that goes in with Sophie having that car crash, and I don't think they thought any further than that.
I think the only characters that they can really ever write that are interesting are Bolshy battle axe types.
Well, they tried to make Jenna a bit Bolshy because she's always shouting and moaning.
She's not
at people.
Bolshy though, is she? Just whinges.
Yeah, there's a fine line.
Exactly. I guess they're quite good at like sweet characters like Sinead and
Craig.
Yeah, but other than that,
yeah, they just didn't know what to do with Jenna.
If you can sum up somebody's personality in like three sentences almost straight away, then they're hopeless.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about later, shall we? Sorry, it won't be too sad to see you go. Over in the Platt household.
Right, we've got the tale of Mad Max, but also Michael and Gail's little romance.
Yeah. Kylie, is trying to control Max's diet on Monday.
She thinks they eat too much junk food.
And that's what gave him ADHD. Gail thinks she's overreacting, so she buys him an ice cream.
Gail's not taking it seriously, which is very unsupportive of her as a fellow mother with tearaway children of her own.
Well, that's probably what she said, isn't it? Like, well, David was a bit of a tearaway, and he's all right.
Look how well he turned out.
Exactly. So she buys him an ice cream, and Kylie catches him later and rips into them a little bit.
Yeah. Also that episode, Gail and Michael agree to go on a nice platonic afternoon out on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. And Kylie calms down at the end of the episode, comes downstairs, and Gail's like, well, you got my support, but I can't look after Max tomorrow afternoon because I've arranged something.
Yeah, so Michael's getting excited on Wednesday about going on a date, but it's not really a date. And Eileen tells him that Gail is very posh and she will want a champagne picnic.
Everything that Eileen does in this storyline is hilarious.
Eileen is having the time of her life in this episode.
I'm really glad that they have her in all the scenes, basically in the background, just giving that funny look she does.
So while Michael's getting ready for this not a date, Gail is also getting ready for this not a date, and tells David that it's not a date, basically. So Michael's going off to get a mezze, and Gail is there. They're all outside, getting ready to leave, and Eileen's watching and laughing at them. And as Michael backs up, he runs Gail over. I don't really know what happens. He said his
foot slips.
Foot slips on the pedal, and he sort of bounces into her, and she falls down and somehow breaks every bone in her body.
I've got to say, what I really like about Michael's ice cream van is this music that they play, the green sleeves, and just whenever he stops, it kind of goes... Da, 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 da.
That is not what Henry VIII had in mind when he composed that classic tune.
I think it's brilliant. I thought that Michael, for the first time on Wednesday, was a little bit too hammy for me, because he was doing that thing... singing to himself at the beginning of the episode? I can't remember, but... And then when he was like backed into Gail, he's like, oh no. I thought he was overreacting a little bit. But I mean, Gail does sing to herself as well, doesn't she? So
made for each other.
Definitely.
Michael takes her to the hospital, and Gail's worried about his curfew, so she makes David come to get her. And Michael realises that he's a bit late, and David teases him and tells him that the SWAT team are outside ready to arrest him, so he runs off.
I don't know how that happened, because it seems that every episode, Michael's final scene of the episode is, oh, gotta go, half past six, it's my curfew.
I don't think he's got a curfew, I think he just gets sick of her.
I wish that they would get rid of his tag. I don't know how long you keep
Wouldn't
those
it,
tags
tell you
on
what,
for.
I want one of those to get out of awkward social events. Oh, I'd love to stay, everybody, but I've got a tag, I've got to get home, or else I'll be arrested.
You've got to go and rob someone's house, then.
No, you just get a fake one.
Get a fake one. People will believe you.
I've got an Asbo.
Seriously,
I'm going to start a catalogue to sell fake leg tags to people that want to get out of things.
I'd have one.
But like at the end of the job interview, have you got any questions? I've got loads of really, really good questions to ask you, but I've got to go now because I've got a tag on my leg.
Please give me a job.
Bye.
I'm just
it wasn't a violent crime.
I hope that he gets rid of his tag soon, because now that this relationship between him and Gail is going up a notch,
they need
some nice... Yeah,
they don't need this plot device of I must leave immediately.
No.
Especially not considering that he was supposedly late on Wednesday and nothing happened. There's no drama to it now, then, is there? There's no, oh, the clock's ticking, I've got to get back.
Well, it happened once, but I would have thought that if it happened again, then he'd get more than the rap on the knuckles. Well, do you think that Gail might move in with him eventually? I mean, he's only got a little pokey flat, but I mean, she's...
No, he's going to move in with them, isn't he?
Do you reckon?
Why not?
Well, I don't think that David would be very happy with that.
They're not real houses. You can fit as many people as you like in them. Ask Eileen.
But as a temporary solution to he's got a foot tag...
Well, won't he just change his address?
What do you mean?
Won't he just say, my tag's going to be set up over there now?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yes, that could probably happen. anyway, that could happen. I didn't even think of that. Friday, Gail is worrying that Michael's got himself in trouble, but like you said, he didn't.
David says, just forget about him. Doesn't matter. They end up... spending the day together and crying over a soppy film. And we didn't know what film it was. And they never said what film it was, but they did reveal that a female character dies at the end.
Forrest Gump.
You think it's Forrest Gump? I think it's Bambi.
Bambi's mum doesn't die at the end.
No, but I don't think Coronation Street really cares about things like facts.
I thought that scene was quite funny because it wasn't needed at all, apart from showing, look how alike these two people are.
Look how soppy these two idiots are, and they made for each other.
Exactly. So in that sense, it was good. It was funny.
I kind of hope that Gail does fall in love with Michael now. I don't know whether he's going to stay in this programme,
though. I don't know how long
because he is obviously... a big name in English television.
Don't go that far. But
do you think that he thinks that he's too big for this show?
No, you should look at his Twitter feed. He's always saying about how grateful he is and everything.
We need to watch out.
He's very excited about being on Coronation Street still.
Oh, if I was his agent, I'd be worried about that.
Yeah. And from what we've seen reception of him on the internet, people seem to quite like him, don't they? There's a few comments on the forums where, oh, Les Dennis, he can't act, he's rubbish. But lots of people spring to his defence as I don't quite mind Michael.
I'd say that not being able to act is hardly a hurdle for being in a soap. No offence.
But it's got to be Gail, who's like the second longest running character at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Has got to... go with. I mean, she's a big name on the show, and she's got to end up with somebody
important. Of equal caliber.
Yeah.
I think he's good.
I think he's perfect for Gail at the moment, and it was nice to see on Friday's episode that even Audrey kind of admitted, yeah, he's a nice guy actually.
I want to see the scene where they reveal to Michael exactly what Gail's past romance history has been like, and see
I wonder whether he knows. I mean. It seems like this. She loves him so much. She probably has told him a whole life story at the moment. But, yeah, I don't know whether he knows about Richard and the others. I mean, obviously he knows that David and Nick and everyone can't have just been brought by the stalk. But, yeah, so...
Well, anyway, by the end of the first episode, Gail is telling him to shut up and kiss me.
Yeah, how sweet.
So they end up... admitting to each other that they have romantic feelings, and despite their previous misgivings, they're going to give it a go. So in the next episode, Gail tells the family that she's seeing Michael, and no one really cares.
Yeah, Kylie's got Max to worry about. He's throwing buckets of Lego down the stairs.
Yeah, Max spends most of this episode being a little hoodlum, doesn't he?
Yes.
And that's about it.
Yeah. Audrey's accepting it. What did David think of it in the end?
David didn't really... Oh, yeah, David's not really that bothered.
He was too occupied with Nick, wasn't he, by the end of that?
Yeah, I think...
Because Nick's got a secret.
They did quite well sort of distracting everybody from playing out the same boring scene of, you can't go out with him, he burgled you, rah, rah, rah. They've just like, whatever.
They've done enough of that,
I've got other fish to fry, I don't care.
Exactly. Audrey doesn't have any other fish to fry, that's the problem though, is it? She hasn't got a proper storyline.
She's got damp. She hasn't fixed this damn problem.
The storyline kind of turned into back to the Nick one, and that was intermingling with the Gail and Michael everything storyline today, wasn't it? And it was as boring as ever, I would say.
What? That was drama.
Nick was still funny.
Nick is
still
always funny.
Nick is great, but It's just every
he's
scene.
He's my top lad of the year.
Every scene with Leanne and Callan just sucks the life out of it, doesn't it? I do try hard to find their scenes interesting, but I just can't because Leanne's just so whiny and Cal's.
Leanne's such a tragic character now because she used to be quite feisty and cool. And when she was a prostitute, I kind of liked her, like Pretty Woman. But now, she's just a moany old harridan.
Yeah, moaning about Nick, moaning about Peter.
Well, anyway, Nick is not happy because he still is bitter about Leanne divorcing him, running off with Cal. So he gets flustered when he tries to put the code into the bistro. It's Leanne's birthday.
I would never forget the bistro code.
I think you'll find that it's actually different because her birthday is on the 3rd of July
now. It's the 2nd of July. It's on the 2nd of July.
You see, Nick was going back to old Nick. Forgot he was new Nick. And didn't know the code.
So the episode was on Tuesday.
Cal rescues him. And he also, when Nick gets inside, he realises that his till key has disappeared. So he snaps at Steph like it's her fault, goes home to look for it. David and Audrey see how miserable he is. But Leanne comes to the rescue and opens up the till. Nick shouts at her and says she doesn't want her help. Tells off Steph for getting her. And Steph tells him, I'm going to resign if you carry on talking to me like that. I don't know why she decides to stand up for herself now, because she's been taking it the whole time.
She is quite a feisty young girl, but I mean, she
hasn't
stood up.
He's been saying stuff like that to her, and she's like,
She's just at the end of her tether now.
Well,
there aren't actually any other restaurants in Manchester, so I don't know where she thinks she's going to go to get a job.
Maybe she thinks she's going to go work at the kebab shop.
I don't think she will.
She can do holiday cover while Chesney's away.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she will leave the bistro because I can't at the moment see where else she could get a job.
She works quite well in there, I think. The only other place she could go is behind the bar in the Rovers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think she does scrub up quite nicely for the bistro, actually.
Yeah, I think she's a bit more high class.
Yeah. Well, there may end up being like a storyline where an episode or two where she quits for a day or two and Nick asks her back or something.
Well, anyway, Dev warns Nick if he carries on being horrible to everybody, he's going to end up on his own.
Yes, because Dev came back into it today. We haven't seen Dev for ages.
Dev
hasn't had a storyline since like the gym, and even that was barely him because of taking over. But he says, Nick, you got to watch
Sharice
how
really
you
changed since he came into the show. I think he was really annoying when he first came in, but now I quite like him.
He's toned down a bit, hasn't he? Because he came in saying, oh, I've got these big plans
for
the gym.
I'm in charge of everything. I know what life's about.
Well, that's been taken over by Yasmin now.
Yeah, that's
it?
True. That's obviously why he was saying it, because he wanted to control one thing in his life that his wife couldn't have anything to do with. Surprised he didn't jump out of a bush and start going, oh, you must have green on the walls. Green is the colour of thoughtfulness.
Have a bookshelf in your gym for when the people
for fitness
are
books.
So what else happened? We had Nick gets a visit from Audrey later because she sees him storming back off home to get his key later, and she realises that there's something not right. So she goes and gives him a confidence boosting chat saying that, oh, whatever you think you can do it. And I think that's what planted the idea in his head to have that little jolly jape with everyone else later on. Because he goes into the cafe. I don't know why he went into the cafe particularly, but it doesn't really matter because Cal and Leanne were there and Alia and David. I don't remember anything that Alia did in this episode. She was in like 3 or 4 scenes, wasn't she, Alia? But
they've
she's
got to
so
be careful
bland.
With her. They've got to be so careful because at the moment they're just trying to make her nice. Like, she's a nice daughter. She's nice to Leanne. She's a good girl that's got good grades.
She's a bit of a rebel.
She's a bit of a rebel because she goes to clubs, but she doesn't drink.
No.
Okay. Whatever you say.
She hasn't got much of a personality.
No, not yet. She's too nice at the moment.
I assume. I mean, she has all the story. All she does is like pop up in every scene that Gary's in. So her character depends on the Gary and Izzy storyline going on, really, doesn't it? But is he going to be more than that? I don't know. I mean, they want to flesh out the Nazir family, but they don't seem to have much of a plan for it.
All the Nazirs have got interesting personalities apart from Alia. And Alia, to be honest, seems to me like the in 5 years' time, if any of them will be left, it'll be Alia, because she's pretty and young and a girl. But Yasmin and Sharif are hilarious.
I don't know why, but I think you're right. I can't see Yasmin or Sharif staying in it for very long. They seem like a quick in cause a bit of a stir, especially with Nazeen.
I'd love to see them stay.
Well, yeah, we need more older people in the street anyway, don't we? And we think Yasmin's great at the moment.
Yeah.
Although, to be honest, she was starting to grate on me a little bit with the stuff at the cafe today.
And also, they're the only Muslim family.
Yeah.
And I think that they do need to sort of start living in the real world and having more characters like that.
Yeah.
In the show.
Well, we still haven't even had Zidane yet, have we?
No, I know.
They're talking about him.
His reputation precedes him.
So, in the cafe anyway, we have Nick clutching his head because he appears to be having a brain aneurysm.
Oh my God, my head hurts. He says he's fine, he's just a bit stressed out. I wonder why. And
Leanne falls for a hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, everyone's worried about him, including David. And he says, David takes him outside and says, look, oh, I'll phone an ambulance for you. And Nick throws his phone on the floor. Don't be stupid.
David didn't seem to care. And that phone really did clatter across the cobbles, didn't it? I think that's a...
It was a stun phone.
But anyway, Nick...
Well, Leanne's a bit worried about the fact that everyone's going to blame her for Nick having this brain problem, including Yasmin, because Ali had just kind of hint that Yasmin thought that it was because of all this stress that Leanne was putting him through.
Yeah.
Nick goes missing, so David's worried and goes looking for him and finds him on the Red Wreck.
I think that part of our trip to Coronation Street has spoiled it for me because it certainly spoiled it for me. Which Red Wreck is that?
Because every time we watch anything, you go, that's not the Red Wreck, that's Chimney Pot Park. Doesn't matter where it is. It could be like a tiny little dog poo park in the middle of Manchester. You're like, that's obviously Chimney Pot Park. Okay.
Not the big Red Wreck that we went to where they had the fun run. That was the same place that Andrea was stalking Lloyd with the action cam last week, wasn't it?
I don't know.
But anyway, Nick reveals to David that he was faking it.
Ha ha.
It's quite hilarious. It seems to be one of those things, though, that a bit like, I don't know, Dennis's plan with Rita, that is kind of funny at the time, but it will eventually come back and bite him on the bum.
All that hilarious time that Lloyd's girlfriend's ex-boyfriend pretended that he had a brain tumour.
Yeah.
That was funny, wasn't it?
Well, he had the last laugh in the end, didn't he? He went off with old Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Anyway, we digress. So David's like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of that.
Wow, well done. Than me. Well done, nice bruv. One, mate.
No, he's like, just be careful with what you're doing. So Leanne and Cal later on meet up with David and Nick, and Leanne says, oh, let's just slow things down with the divorce proceedings a bit.
Well, Nick says, well, the doctor thinks it's distress because of the divorce. And Leanne says, well, okay, well, maybe we should put everything on hold until you feel better then.
Does Nick really think that Leanne would ever get back with him now?
He doesn't want them. He doesn't want to get back together with her. I'll explain anyway. Audrey and Gail are trying to make Nick go to the hospital, but he says, no, I'm going to go see my doctor later.
Oliver.
I don't want to go just yet. I'll wait till Monday. And David says, well, what are you going to do about this doctor then? He's like, there is no doctor, you idiot. Ha ha ha. I'm just getting started with my evil plans. But Leanne does suspect him, though. She says to Cal, I think Nick is a bit convenient that he had this brain problem.
I don't know how Leanne would have suspected him. I think in the real world, would you ever think that he faked it?
It depends on how suspicious a person you are.
I know that she is quite suspicious.
I have been quite suspicious of a few people's well-placed illnesses over the course of my life.
I don't think that in that situation Leanne would have really suspected Nick, particularly early on.
Sorry, if you had a brain aneurysm, it's slightly more serious than I've just got to pop into ER for half an hour. Oh no, I'm fine, I've got to see the doctor on Monday. Wouldn't you be a bit suspicious?
I don't know. And what, then he comes up and says, work.
The doctor prescribed no more divorces for me.
I don't mind Leanne catching him out, but I think there should have been a few more of his fake illnesses or fake symptoms or whatever before she rumbled him.
Well,
Not that I advocate dragging this story on any longer than it already is, of course. But
I think Nick clearly doesn't love Leanne anymore. He is not interested in getting her back, but he does want to wreck her life for making him suffer, and he wants to wreck Cal's life as well. I think he's going to be up to some very interesting little tricks to try to get revenge on Leanne now. Because before, he wanted her to stop divorcing him, and he wants to keep the beef straight. But now, I think he's just in it for personal revenge.
I can imagine like a situation where Leanne and Cal split up, and then Nick is like, wooing Leanne, and they get closer together, and Leanne's like, oh, maybe we should give it another go, and Nick's like, no, I was tricking you all along.
Yeah.
That sounds like the sort of thing that new Nick would do.
Evil Nick.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Let's finish off with our little bit of Tycoon Todd, which is only on Monday, wasn't it? It's all to do with this loft extension at Tyrone's house. Because
Gary bought materials with
yeah.
the money that Todd gave him. Todd told him to buy shoddy materials that were cheaper so that Todd could secretly pocket the difference.
Yeah, Todd went and got the materials in himself. Wasn't Gary... that last week?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Todd
that happened on Friday, we're forgetting.
Todd went off to go and buy it himself, gave it to Gary.
And Gary finds out on Monday.
Gary says to him, this isn't right. On Monday, he says, it's not the right material. It's not thick enough. I want to speak to Jason. And Todd says, no, Tony ordered it. You want to talk to Tony? I don't think you do. And if you don't fit it, you're going to get sacked.
What position does Todd have there? Does he have the power to sack Gary? Because he's not the owner.
It doesn't matter if he has the power to sack. And that was the whole point of the scene. It doesn't matter that he's got the power to sack Gary. It matters that he's got the ability to make Gary think that he can sack him.
Mind games.
That's what he's doing. He just basically convinces and charms Gary. Well, it wasn't really charm, was it? It was using a sledgehammer. And says, don't you just do what you're told.
I would have thought that Gary might have sort of taken on the argument a bit more and sort of stood up to him. The old Gary certainly would.
The old Gary would have gone, all right, mate, whatever you say, gone off, found Jason and said, Jason, this isn't right. Because basically, the chipboard isn't thick enough. And at one point, Tony goes over to the chipboard and looks at it and says, oh, this isn't the stuff for the loft conversion, is it? And Todd's like, no, there's something completely different. And he goes, oh, thank God for that, because it's not the right spec. So obviously, this chipboard, which isn't thick enough, is going to snap in half at some point.
Yes, I think we can see that coming.
So yeah, the chipboard is the flooring, I suppose, which isn't thick enough, so it's not going to bear the right amount of weight. Gary knows
that
it's gone down.
You need
that
in a house with Tyrone and Fizz living in.
Gary knows it's gone down, but he's the only one who knows that it's not thick enough.
Yes.
Todd tells him he needs to keep his mouth shut.
Do you think that when this inevitable thing does happen, that Gary will end up having to take the blame for it? Because Todd will say, I didn't know about it.
I didn't know anything about building stuff. Well, on Monday, Todd plays a trick on Gary and tells him he needs to go and refit a kitchen light on Tile Street, and that the woman who owns the place has got a sensitive poodle, so he has to whisper. And he thinks this is hilarious, and Eileen thinks he's not taking it seriously. And Gary, when he comes back, isn't very happy about this stupid joke. So I think that if Todd carries on playing Gary for a fool, he's going to find himself on the wrong end of his... Because we know that Gary's got a temper.
Yeah.
So he needs to be careful, because he's playing with fire.
Well, the thing with Gary is, though, he does need the money at the moment, so he's got to tread carefully.
And also, I don't think he's the brightest bulb in the box, is he?
Well, not up against Todd, anyway.
No.
So there we go. That was our street talk for this week. Enjoy it this week?
Certain parts more than others. I liked the Tinker stuff.
Yeah, that was cool. I think it's been another case of can't have the Tinkers in a storyline for more than like 2 weeks at a time, because I think that they're going to be off. They're obviously off on holiday again now. Why can't they be the ones that are in the long time storyline? Do you think if like the Tinker family or whatever were in this massive long storyline that we'd get bored of them?
Yeah, I think so, probably.
I guess it happens to everyone.
I mean, I like Nick. I always like Nick's storylines, but like you say, Leanne just drags him down. I would love to see him spark off another set of characters, because I think he would make Coronation Street so much more entertaining. But as it is, he's just... There's no real conflict of interest watching him be horrible to Leanne, because you just think, ah, Leanne, help.
No, she asked for that.
There's no drama in it, is there?
No. It's just funny. I love all the prison stuff. I think that's really, really good.
I liked the Gail and Michael scenes.
Yes.
And Eileen laughing at them.
Yeah, that's obviously the comedy storyline, even though, that, like I said, they were a bit too hammy on Wednesday. I think Chris Gascoigne is doing a very good job with his withdrawal symptoms acting at the moment, I have to say.
Yeah,
he gets my acting award for the week.
Central heating.
That where did we read? I can't remember where it was now. Where they said that the prisoners bit is set. They've built the set.
Oh, it's on top of someone's house, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, it's something like above the prima donna or something. That's where they have the set for the prison.
Don't mess with my mind. I've just learned where everything is. Now you're starting to mess around.
Sorry.
I'm surprised that ITV just doesn't have like a prison set left over from the bill or something.
Should we move on? I know we're just putting off our Jenna character profile. Let's do it. We can make it through this. Okay then, Jenna Kamara. And before we start, I don't have anything against Chrissy Bourne.
I was going to say Chrissy Bourne.
Seems lovely.
I know you're not going to be listening to this, Chrissy, but we do love you.
Just like we love all the Coronation Street actors.
But it's not your fault. She seems like a really lovely person. Against you.
And I follow her on Twitter.
Yeah.
And she seems great.
Just try to keep your head up, move on, maybe get a job on Emmerdale or something.
Maybe she could. I think she hasn't acted the part badly. I think it has just been a really poor part. I think that there's if you've got a really, really, really special, charismatic actor, they can make any part interesting, I would say. But this part was... I mean, Chrissy Bourne is fine as an actress. I think she does a good job with what she's given. But, like I said, she was given a character that I don't believe had been fleshed out enough before.
No, she wasn't a real person.
It was just like, let's give Lloyd a family.
Yeah, well, that's basically what they did. So let's talk about Jenna Kamara. She was born on the 24th of April, 1984, in Nottingham, to Lloyd Mullaney and Mandy Kamara. But Lloyd didn't know that he was the dad.
No.
She first appeared on the 19th of September, 2012, and she's been in just over 150 episodes, but it feels like so many more. She's played by Chrissy Bourne.
Yeah, she and Mandy appeared just like a month after our podcast started.
Wow, we've done the whole run with you, Jenna, and we didn't really like it. she was announced as a new character in June 2012 by Phil Collinson. He said, "The story allows us to establish two terrific actresses alongside Craig Charles and create an instant new family for Lloyd. Jenna is a clever, educated young woman whose life will be turned upside down as she struggles to come to accept Lloyd as her real father." According to Craig Charles, Bourne was close to giving up acting when she got the call to be Jenna.
You read that as I was still part of Phil Collinson's quote.
Well, it wasn't him that said it, but if only she had just quit.
No, I don't. I mean,
I can't believe that she's happy with what happened with Jenna.
Well, she's not. I mean, when she found out that she lost her job, she was on holiday or something.
And that's awful.
She heard about it in the paper.
If you're not a popular actor, you get treated a bit like crap by Coronation Street. They've really been horrible to quite a few of the actors.
You think?
Yeah.
Like who?
We've heard lots of stories about people being kicked off the show. Last week.
Marcus.
No.
Who?
Philip Lowry just getting...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just getting the boot out of nowhere. And it makes you wonder... Well, I just don't know.
I don't know what goes on behind the scenes. But...
To be honest, I'm seriously starting to reconsider this plan of mine to be a future star on Coronation Street.
But you would be an interesting, charming, wonderful actress.
Yeah, I'd be one of the main ones in the background drinking some orange juice.
let's look at Jenna's history. So she was born in 1984 in Nottingham, raised by Mandy and Johnny, who she thought was her dad all along, but actually she was the result of a fling between Mandy and Lloyd. She didn't really do much between then and 2012, but I expect she did all her homework. She was very clever, and she ended up
being a bit like Hermione.
She seems like a bit of a Hermione. Mm-hmm. And she grew up to be a physiotherapist.
What an interesting job.
Good profession. And the first time we saw her was when she answered the door to Lloyd.
Why would you make someone a physiotherapist? It's the most... Sorry if you're a physiotherapist, but it's not an interesting career, is it?
Are you talking about if you were making a character for a soap?
Yeah, if you're going to pick any job, like, oh, you can be anything you like. Oh, a taxidermist.
They had to have her as a physiotherapist.
I know that, but it's still a boring job. It's so boring that even Jenna couldn't do it.
It's not the sort of job that is going to get you many people visiting you on Coronation Street, is it?
They didn't really think it through, did they?
So the first time she saw Lloyd, he'd been to a gig the previous night, I think, with met Mandy there, this long lost girlfriend of his. And at the end of the date, Mandy had said, look, we've had a good time, but we can't see each other again. And she was a bit abrupt with him. So he goes round there to see if he can work things out. She told him that she lives alone. So he was quite surprised to see this mysterious girl open the door.
What's that? Your 30-year-old daughter lives with you? That's a surprise.
But he realises, because she is 30 years old, dates kind of tally with when him and Mandy, you know what. And eventually, Mandy reveals the truth. And that bombshell made Jenna throw Mandy out. Oh, yeah, because it was Jenna's house, wasn't it?
Okay.
That Mandy was living at for some reason. And then she refused to see Lloyd too. I remember the first few months of that storyline just being Lloyd and Mandy are together and Jenna's chewing a wasp about it, or then Lloyd is friends with Jenna and then Mandy won't speak to them.
That was pretty much the whole storyline between Jenna, Mandy and Lloyd.
Yeah, one of them being annoyed at the other two.
And then it turns into Andrea, Lloyd and Jenna.
Yeah, they just can't get along with them.
Jenna just can't stand Lloyd having another woman in his life.
Yeah. So Lloyd made an appointment at the physiotherapist under a fake name just to try and get closer to his daughter, and she eventually agreed to see him. Then Mandy got mad. They eventually all make up. This is really, really thrilling stuff, as you can see. She then got closer to Sophie Webster when she went to her for physiotherapy after her car accident. Do you remember that car accident?
What a relevant storyline.
Do you remember that? That was quite cool when it was What happened?
It was that stupid kid.
Yeah, yeah, Ryan Connor walked into the road and then she ended
up getting hit. Ryan, you're such a tearaway. So, in 2013, Sophie and Jenna kiss. And then Mandy accuses Sophie of trying to ruin Jenna's career. And then Jenna reveals to Lloyd that she's a lesbian and it was her who came on to Sophie. And then she ends up losing her job over it.
Because she's kissing a patient.
Well, no, exactly.
That's unprofessional.
That's not unprofessional at all. Mandy doesn't like the fact that Jenna is a lesbian, but then she grows to accept it, but she can't accept Jenna's new career move to work in the cafe.
That always seemed like a really strange move, maybe it could be a bit of a stopgap. But after she stopped being a physiotherapist, she was quickly rushed into the cafe, and then that was it.
Stayed
and
there.
Then for the next year, all she did was stand there with her red apron on.
Going, do you want beans with that?
Yeah, and it's such a shame and a waste of a character. And I mean, she was like saying, oh, Mum, you had these high expectations of me. I can do what I want. But she, over the whole year, she didn't particularly show any drive at all to do anything else.
It's just because they can't have you in the street unless you have a job there.
Yeah.
They just don't know what to do with you. If you have to live there and you have to have a job there. And it doesn't make any sense to have these highly educated characters in these like these roles of working in a cafe.
They should have like made her into a masseuse or something. That's like physiotherapy, isn't it?
She could have started her own business doing anything like that. It just doesn't make any sense that they just slap them into any old role, and it kind of is disappointing every time.
The moment she went into the cafe, that was when Phil Collinson's idea for what the character of Jenna entails ended, I think.
I know.
But that was also, of course, when, by this time, Stuart Blackburn was in charge of the programme, and so he obviously
didn't care.
This character he's inherited didn't seem to have any sort of particular drive to do anything with her. So she split up with Sophie because she was getting mad about Sophie interfering with Sally and Tim's relationship. And then they split up. And then this year she's unsupportive of Lloyd's new relationship with Andrea. Because she mistrusts Andrea and then she bogged off this week.
She's a very mistrusting person for no reason. She had no depth to her. You didn't know anything about why she was... why she was so distrustful of everybody, why she didn't like people being in relationships, why was she a closeted lesbian for the first 30 years of her life and her mum had no idea.
I don't know whether
she did. I don't even know why she wanted to be a physiotherapist.
I'm trying to remember back, and I think that Mandy had said to Lloyd, like, oh, she's not really interested in boys, or
I know, as she in said a kind that. Of a... Yeah, I know she said that, but why hide it?
Because it's...
Are we trying to say that she's actually completely asexual and she just thought, oh, maybe I'll try being a lesbian?
I don't know.
That didn't work. Well, I guess I really am boring.
And that's all that she's done, really. Mopped a few floors. The cafe flooded earlier this year, and she helped mop it up. Quite an important job. That's about as much as we can see, really, because we haven't seen too much with her relationship with Anna particularly. They haven't really bonded over the cafe canter. Same with Roy either. She's just.
It wasn't a good role.
No.
It was a boring character.
Well, like I said, Chrissy found out in May that she was the contract wasn't being renewed. She tweeted from holiday, "Sad not to have my Corrie contract renewed, but looking forward to new things. Also, on a beach in Thailand, so life is pretty darn good. Thankful for the people I've met and experience I've gained. What a great almost 2 years."
What a classy lady she is. I'd been like, screw you, Coronation Street, bunch of bastards. I've never seen you again. I'm not coming to film any more scenes for you.
Stuart Blackburn said, "It's with great regret that we're saying goodbye to Chrissy. She's a
wonderful..." He paused there to look down at his piece of paper just to see who he was talking about.
"She's a wonderful person and a great actor."
I guess.
He probably still meant it, because we said that she seems nice enough. He says she's played a key role in some fantastic stories. Now, that's certainly not
that's
true.
That's a lie.
"We wish her all the very best for her future." Well, we do as well.
That sounds like a headmaster's quote on the back of someone's personal statement. All the best for the future.
Yeah, that's like you write at the bottom of your report at the end of year six.
"You've been a wonderful person."
Yeah, that's what I write.
Goodbye.
That's what I write on my reports for the children. They're
You're
a little
fired.
Bit boring.
There you go. So, as I said before, what is her personality?
Well, she is strong-minded. She's stubborn. Is that the same thing? I don't know.
Stubborn has... Strong-minded is like a positive spin on it, whereas stubborn just... She is stubborn. She won't be told anything by anybody.
No.
She's honest to a fault. She gets herself in deep trouble by going around unable to keep her mouth closed about anything. If she doesn't like you, she tells you, but not in an interesting way, like most of the other female characters on the street who are quite confrontational about it. She just whinges at everyone. She's kind of like Leanne. But the thing about Leanne is that she's got so many other characters that she's part of their lives that it'd be too difficult to get rid of her.
Yeah, they never really tried to integrate Jenna with anyone else, did they? Like
no.
I said, they didn't do anything with her and Anna or Roy particularly, and she just kept herself to herself. And once Mandy left a year ago, that was one less person for her to interact with. She's barely had any scenes with Sophie since they split up. So it has literally been her and Lloyd. And it's been quite sweet seeing Lloyd having a daughter, and I think he's been quite a good father figure to her.
Oh, honestly, I think he's secretly disappointed. I'd be disappointed. Waited 30 years to meet my kid, and it was Jenna. Oh, brilliant.
He quite likes that they can like have a drink together and stuff, and they can have a bit of a laugh together.
When was she ever laugh? I've never seen her laugh the whole time she's been in the show. Surely she's never cracked a smile.
I'm sure there must have been once or twice at least. But it's just a shame that it's the end of the family.
I thought it was surprising that Mandy left before Jenna, because of the two, if you were going to keep one of them on for longer, I would have kept Mandy.
I thought Mandy definitely had potential. I mean,
Andrea Moore
as
Lloyd's girlfriend, but I was shocked that... Because Mandy was a much more colourful character. She had much more pizzazz about her.
And she worked in the Rovers as well, which is
and it did,
a springboard
made sense
to anyone.
Because she was in catering.
Yeah.
That's how you write an intelligent character into the show in a way that doesn't demean their education by suggesting that they'd be perfectly fine working in a cafe. Because she had her own business. Why couldn't they have made Jenna have her own business? They've got a thing about... I mean, I know that you've got Carla Connor in the factory... But how many other female business owners are there?
Not many.
She could have been an interesting character.
Mandy,
she could have been like... Jenna having her own like masseuse company, like I said. Like the old, we're nearly running out of oil. Oh my God, we haven't got
Audrey?
Enough clients.
Audrey's got her business, hasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm.
What do you think about... The fact that
and Lloyd... also Sinead makes soaps. I forgot about that. Yeah.
What do you think about the fact that they wanted to give Lloyd a family, and now 2 years, it's almost as if nothing's happened, because he's probably not going to mention Jenna again.
No,
he doesn't mention Mandy since she's left.
It makes
he's just
me
back
worry
exactly
about...
where he was 2 years ago.
Makes me worry about Lloyd, because I want him to stay in the show.
Yeah.
But it makes me think, well, they tried to give him a family and now he hasn't got one.
He's got Andrea though, hasn't he? Like, I mean, we both do like Andrea.
Is it too late for them to have a family of their own? can you see Andrea and Lloyd having a baby?
No.
Not really.
Well, maybe they'll have, what is her name? Jess, the daughter? She's at university at the moment, so she could come back. But then that's another case of getting a grown-up daughter that's...
I know, but as long as they're... The thing is, in real life, a family can be whatever you want. But in a soap, a family has to be a couple of generations worth of people. To, you know, just to anchor it in and to make everybody part of the show and to increase the amount of interactions the family has with everybody else. So it doesn't really matter if Jess comes in and she's not Lloyd's real daughter, as long as she's in the show.
Yeah. I think getting Lloyd moved onto the street, one of the houses on the street, would be good to anchor him in.
Well,
there.
I don't even know where his flat is then.
Oh no, he does. He lives over the cab office, doesn't he? So
he does live on the street.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a problem with Lloyd. I think he'll be all right. But I just think it's very unfortunate that they brought this family in, because now they can't do that again.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah. If it does happen again, it's going to be like, oh, they're just trying again, haven't they got anything better to do? At least he's great with Steve, and he's a popular character, isn't he?
Well, he's really good with Steve and Eileen, and I never would have thought that anyone could have gone into that relationship and played off of them equally. And
yeah.
But he does really well.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever needed a family. If I'm perfectly honest, he's perfectly fine with just a girlfriend, like he had with Cheryl, like he's got with Andrea. I think they made a massive mistake.
He is a bit of an old romantic, isn't he? And just
he is
having
a soppy one, isn't he?
He's a bit soppy, and having a girlfriend, that's good for him. I'm glad that he's got someone he's not just desperately alone, because he is the sort of person that needs a woman.
It didn't work with Andrea, Mandy and Jenna, because he was always having to prove something to them. All the time, like he wasn't good enough, or like he had to make up for something.
He was trying to make peace between them half the time.
And it was just, no.
And then that got caught up in the Play the White Man storyline, and that didn't do anyone any favours.
Let's just not talk about that ever again. So, I don't know, I don't think anyone could have played Jenna in a better way than Chrissy Bond did, because really the role was so deadly boring. The only thing I could possibly imagine is if an actress had come in, sort of like what happened with Becky, who completely overtook the role and turned it into something.
Yeah, and then the writers
different.
Start to base the character, they change it a little bit based on the quirks that the actor has.
Yeah, so I mean, I can't see the role being that different in anyone else's hands. I think it was ridiculous that they made her a couple with Sophie. That was one of the major turning points in Jenna being a credible character, because she's supposed to be so serious and academic and career minded, and then she throws it all away for no reason at all. She could have just waited.
Yeah,
doesn't make any sense. She never gelled with Sophie. In real life, she would never have even been friends with Sophie.
They could have got away with making Jenna a little bit younger as well, because she's like 30 now, so she was 28 when the character came into it. They could have probably got away with making Jenna Sophie's age, and then...
I don't think so. She really seems like a very mature young woman.
I suppose they wouldn't.
And by mature, I mean boring.
Are the mature, intelligent ones? Is Coronation Street just not a place for those? Because that's what happened with Marcus, isn't it? He's gone, and he was just like nice and intelligent.
He's professional, medical, gay, gone. Thing is about Sophie was that she was quite a straight-laced, boring character herself for a little bit, but even her next to Jenna looked like the life and soul of the party.
Well, I think we would both agree that she's better off with Maddie now. As a storyline, not that Maddie's necessarily good for her. But.
Definitely, much, much better.
Yeah.
I can't see Jenna anywhere on the street, really. Working where she did was silly. There was no other places apart from her opening her own business. She could have worked maybe in Audrey's as a masseuse in there. That would have made so
could
much
more
sense.
Could she have been a barmaid
sense.
At the Rovers?
No.
Because she serves behind the counter.
No. I wouldn't want to drink my pint with Jenna watching
She'd probably turn the beer sour.
Exactly.
Well. Let's end on a positive note.
Don't you want to talk about any of these other talking points that you've got here? Like about the fact that now we've had two gay characters leave, both of whom were progressive in the sense that being gay wasn't the point of their character or personality.
Yeah, they just, if we're talking about Marcus and Jenna.
Yeah, Marcus and Jenna were both just people that happened to be gay,
mm-hmm.
which was really good. And now they're both gone because they were too boring.
Do you think that Todd is a bit like that, that he just happens to be gay? Because his main character trait at the moment is he's a nasty piece of work.
Yeah.
Who do we have left on Coronation Street that's gay? We've got Todd, Sophie, and Sean. I think it's just those three, isn't it?
Sophie, Sean, and...
Todd.
Todd, yeah.
I think that's enough.
I don't, unless there's anyone hiding in the closet, I don't know. I always thought Dev was a bit camp.
No, I don't think she's going to leave a particular gap.
Well, see, it's another blow for gay characters and another blow for intelligent characters that I think... Don't bring any more of those in, because obviously just don't work.
Don't work on Coronation Street. Shall we end on a positive note?
Yes.
Because on Sunday this weekend, Chrissy Bonn and Ryan Thomas, who plays Jason, and Ian Poulston-Davis, who plays Owen, are going to be teaming up to do the Salford Triathlon.
She probably teamed up. She probably agreed to do this months and months ago before she thought she'd get the boot.
Probably wouldn't do it now.
Well, she wasn't bloody doing this now.
Well, she's doing the swim, I think. I can't remember. I might be wrong. I think Ryan's doing the run and Ian's doing the cycling, but I could have.
That's not a real triathlon. Wrong.
It's a team triathlon.
That's a load of crap.
And they are going to be raising money for St Mary's Hospital Intensive Care, which is going to be raising money for very poorly babies.
Well, so... good cause, but cheeky buggers, because that's not a real triathlon.
This is supposed to be a positive note.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, I would never... I would. Triathlon's a serious, serious business. You can't just hack it up into bits and say, like me saying, I did a marathon. So run in bits.
me and 24 other people. Well, maybe Jenna will come back one day and then... 26. Maybe Jenna will come back one day and then she'll have had a personality change and suddenly she'll be interesting. We'll have lots of good things to say about her.
Well, she's obviously a very athletic person in real life because she's done other things as well. Why couldn't they have had her be in a gym instructor or something? Then they could have... She could have been a sports therapist in the
gym.
She could
have had something at the
gym.
There are
so many other things they could have done with her. Ugh.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
When it was announced that she was leaving, we did a little jig, didn't we?
Yeah. Sorry, Chrissy. You know that it wasn't a good role.
No, and I hope
she's better off out of it.
I hope that she'll get something better.
I really, really hope that she gets something else that was better suited to her. Maybe, I don't know if she's been turned off at Soaps for Life, because I probably would have been by this, but...
Yeah, I'm sure she'd do great in a serious drama. I mean, there could be a lot on ITV.
Not what she'd be good in. The Bill.
The Bill, but too
damn
late
it.
For that.
Oh.
Yeah, she'd have been really good, actually.
She would have been. She would have been a really, actually really good copper in The Bill.
Yeah.
Because she would have been the straight-laced one who didn't take no funny business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's plenty of other police dramas around on the TV that she could
Inspector
get
Morse.
Into.
Inspector Morse. Mm. A Touch of Frost.
No. There are still some.
That's the end of Jenna.
Oh, well.
She probably won't ever come back.
The end. Let's do some news. It's the cabin, and I was starting to think we might have to go another week with no cabin on the podcast. But sad news has come in today.
What? Oh, yeah. I'm annoyed about this.
Go on, then. You talk about it.
The old Coronation Street set. Please sit down, because this is a shock. It's going to be demolished and turned into flats, shops and offices
next year. Wasn't able to be saved. It was turned down as a listed status 2 years ago, and I didn't even know whether I realised that. That happened like a couple of months before the podcast started. English Heritage had said that it's not historically or culturally significant enough to be listed.
What a bunch of stuck-up snobs.
I know. They obviously watch EastEnders.
It's just southern snobbery, if you ask me. No, I think it is a massive mistake, and it's the kind of thing that people are going to say in a few years' time, oh, why did we knock it down for? Well, that was silly.
They've got the new set, but...
I know they've got the new set, and I hope that should they ever want to do anything with that, they'll preserve it in some way. But this is not just an English thing. This is an international thing. And I think it's just down to money. I think they just think we're not going to get enough people to come and see this place.
Yeah, well, I think
we can't have enough money to run it.
I think they bought it for like £26 million, I think, or something like that. I read, and
that's
the thing is, the tourists will stop going. We've said it before on the podcast, haven't we? When we were wondering about what's going to happen with this. I mean, it's supposed to be open until October, or maybe they're extending it for a little bit. But to be honest, if people want to go, they'll go this year.
What we want is some eccentric, rich oil baron, and I know that these people exist because I've heard about them on the news, who is a secret Coronation Street fan, to come and buy it and protect it. I wouldn't even mind if they shipped it off to Abu Dhabi. As long as it's stuck together, I want them to keep it.
What would they do with it, though?
Why can't they just scoop it all up and stick it in a warehouse? I can understand that the land costs more, is worth more than it would ever earn, because it's in central Manchester and that land is a premium. But the buildings themselves... this part of history.
I hope that they take down some of the important landmarks.
I'm sure
there,
they'll take like parts of it away.
The bench, the old rectory sign, the sign in Audrey's salon, the Nick's Bistro sign. There's lots of iconic little props on the outside that it was such a shame to imagine them just in the back of a skip or something and going off.
They won't. They'll sell them.
That's a bit sad as well.
When they say knock it down. It kind of makes you think that they'll destroy it, but they really don't need to. They could take it apart and put it back together somewhere else.
Yeah. I hope that we don't get to see, which we possibly could, news images of like a big wrecking ball smashing into the road. It'd be tragic.
It's short-sighted and snobby. It's because it's not high art, opera, bloody la-di-da stuff.
Yeah.
It's that part of English heritage, whether they believe it or not.
Mm. Well, if anyone...
To some people, it's more English and more part of English culture than Stonehenge and things like that.
Yeah, definitely is. I'm more entertained by Corrie than I am with Stonehenge.
It's popular culture, and people don't take popular culture seriously in the time that it is consumed. But things like Charles Dickens, when that was out, that was just pop culture. That was pulp fiction in a newspaper. They got thrown in the bin every week.
Mm.
And nobody took it seriously then, but suddenly now it's Charles Dickens, the great literary hero, and everybody studies him at university and stuff. Coronation Street is throwaway entertainment now, but in the future, people are going to be talking about it in history books and studying it to learn about what life was like.
Mm.
And then they're just going to smash it to pieces.
Yeah, it's just a set.
What a bunch of bastards.
So make sure you go there. If you haven't been to visit yet, get on down to Coronation Street to Manchester and do the tour, because it's a very good day out.
We should go again.
Yeah, I know. We should go at Christmas
and
or something.
Steal parts of it.
But we said before that they should like dress it up in fake snow or whatever in December. That'll get people to come back.
I'll tell you how they can make a bit more money out of this if they want to.
What?
They want to destroy it. Get a load of EastEnders fans in with the pickaxes and just let them go.
Yeah, raise it to the ground.
Come on, let's get him.
But yeah, sad times. But there's an article about it on BBC News that has got Glenda from the Coronation Street blog doing a little interview there.
We should do a campaign. What did she say?
She also said that they should keep a bench or something. But she said that at the end of the day, they're not going to be able to keep using it as a tour. Forever, but it's sad. But
I'm gonna buy it. How much is it?
£26 million.
No, but to scoop it up.
Should we do a Kickstarter?
Yes.
I think we should get Yasmin and do a little sit-in protest.
We should do a protest and take a selfie.
Selfie. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
And then give up after the first day because it's too cold.
And then it gets burnt down
the next day.
Not good. Not a good idea.
Let's move on to other things. Oh, speaking of the Coronation Street set, I didn't even realise that this one was coming up next to it. There's got a special event on next week.
What is it?
Well, it's kind of a special event. The Manchester Pride is coming up, and to celebrate that, if you go along to the Coronation Street tour next week, between 8 and 9 in the evening, dressed up as a Coronation Street character, you get a free Behind the Rovers Bar photo.
Which I'm sure will be used for promotional purposes.
How much are those? How much did you pay for it?
Not very much.
No, it's not too bad. Not as bad as Harry Potter, was it? But yeah, you can get it for free if you go dressed up. Who would you go dressed up as?
Bette Lynch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who? Oh, I've got my...
You got your Halloween costume ready, haven't you?
I've got my Halloween costume.
Can't say who it is. I don't know who I could go as. I've got a fairly plain face.
Marcus.
Roy. Go there looking miserable.
Yeah. Jenna.
Yeah. But anyway, if anyone is in the Manchester area and would like a free photo, go along dressed up there.
Just go wearing your normal clothes and just see if you can chant like Molly or
Just wear a name badge.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few iconic Coronation Street costumes, but not too many. I don't know.
More from the old days.
One of our listeners is at Coronation Street tour right at the moment, aren't they? Mm. Well, they were earlier today. Jules, who you remember from episode 100, she went and visited today, apparently using our episode 90 as a guide to find herself around Manchester.
She stopped in Bakewell on the way then, otherwise it's not proper recreation, is it?
But yeah, I hope she had a good time on there.
I hope that we didn't confuse or misdirect her in any way.
Well, I told her to get back in touch if she needs help finding anything.
Because so we know our way around Manchester, yeah, don't we?
So she's either fine and she found it all herself, or she's absolutely lost in the middle of nowhere with no phone reception. So
possible.
Let us know, Jules, that you're okay.
Yeah, please let us know. Sending, please.
That was pretty much it for the news. So I had to scrape the bottle of the barrel because I do like to have three bits in the news section. And we haven't had any Helen Flanagan news for a little while. And there was a little bit this week. She would like to release her own underwear collection. To be honest, I'm surprised it's taken her so long to do this.
I can't believe the names.
I do the Helen Flanagan.
I'm not saying it. I'm saying I can't believe the names that she's dropping here that she thinks would ever work with her.
So she said, "I've always been obsessed with Agent Provocateur because I think it's so classy, but always so cool, quirky and creative. It's really inspired me. I literally have the entire Agent Provocateur collection."
No, you don't.
I own everything they have.
No, you don't.
"I've been trying to find the name for ages. I've got a few ideas that I'm working on, but I won't have my name in the brand because then people who don't like me won't buy it."
And also, Flanagan's is not a good name for pants, is it?
Flanagan's knickers.
Oh, I've dropped my Flanagan's.
She also says, "Last summer was really full of drama, but I think I've calmed down a bit now. I've matured." Good to know.
That's really lovely. Agent Provocateur would never have anything to do with Helen Flanagan in a million years.
Yeah, she's a sexy lady. She's on FHM and everything. She could possibly be on our screens very soon, because she is hotly tipped to be on Celebrity Big Brother next week. But she says she won't be, so I don't know. But
well, of course she said that.
Michael Lavelle has also supposedly doing it, and we've said that we don't think that would be a good idea
if we did it, but we'll find out soon. Michael Lavelle. And she says that she wishes she'd never done I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah, she said that it looked... There was a quote I read where she said, it looked fun when I was watching it when I was a teenager and it didn't look so bad. Apparently her parents warned her not to go, but she did it anyway.
It didn't sound like the sort of thing she'd
just
do.
Just come back to Coronation Street. Everybody loved Rosie Webster, didn't they?
She'd want too much money now, probably.
Well, she is doing her first post-Coronation Street acting in the very near future. She's going to be on Holby City, which is...
Hey, baby, where'd you come from?
She's going to be a nurse.
Heaven or something.
What's that accent?
That was out of her... That stupid song that she was in.
Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it? She's going to be a nurse. Possibly a sexy nurse.
A nerd.
In Holby City, which is a medical drama.
I can't imagine her acting like she knows what a nurse even does.
I'd quite like to see that. It'd probably be on YouTube.
You'd quite like to see Helen Flanagan dressed as a sexy nurse.
Yes,
coincidentally, that's her first collection for Agent Provocateur.
Sexy nurse.
Yeah.
Oh, Helen.
Nurse Flanagan.
I don't know how long you've got to be away from Coronation Street before we don't consider you as newsworthy anymore, but...
Well, Helen Flanagan will always be newsworthy to us because she is so insane.
but that's it for the news.
Yep, that's
it. Proper summer drought of news. Yeah. So
bad news.
Maybe next week. Oh, there was a blimmin' awful casting news this week. We won't talk about it because it's not that interesting. And, just for these new two characters that have been cast.
Why mention it if you say you're not going to talk about it?
Well, people who like to know about these things can look it up, but we're not happy with it, and you can probably guess why. But anyway, let's go and do a bit of feedback before we end the episode. So we've got three little bits of feedback to talk about this week. First one is from Gail, who says that she thoroughly enjoyed our podcast last week, as usual. Actually, I think it was 2 weeks ago, because she sent us an email that came in just after... It was just as we were recording the end of last week's podcast, actually, at Bington. And she said she found our profile of Uncle Albert very interesting. As a long-time viewer, I remember his character quite well. Although at times he could be a little crusty deep down, he had a good heart. I thought that Uncle Albert one was a good one today. I enjoyed that character profile.
I did as well.
Interesting. Particularly the stuff that happened before Coronation Street, like all his First World War stuff. But yeah, he was a good one today. So thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Gail. We've also got a... emailed from a new person this week. Would you like to read this one out, Gemma?
Amy says, greetings from Manhattan, New York. I think Exciting. That's the main bit.
Listener in Manhattan.
I want to thank you both for the great podcast and amusing banter. Or as we call it, bants in this country.
Yes, we've been to see the in-between this movie. Wasn't as good as the first one.
I've been slowly getting back to listen to your early podcasts. As a new fan of Coronation Street, I really appreciate the character profile since it saves me from having to watch 54 years of Corrie.
We aim to please.
Me too. Now that's binge watching. Just a quick comment on last week's character profile on France. I think you missed the Webster's family trip to Paris when Rosie decided not to run off to Germany with Craig.
It's true, I missed one.
Oh, damn. As an American and a New Yorker, I find it curious and amusing that the teens in Corrie seem to have no qualms in running away. I imagine that sleeping rough has vastly different consequences on our two sides of the pond. And thanks for the great Corrie Tour podcast. I have my ticket for the end of September and I'm really looking forward to it. Well, that's cool.
Have a good time. So, yeah, people running away on soaps. I don't know how much it happens in real life. It's just for the drama in the soaps, isn't it?
I ran away a lot when I was about 10, maybe.
Did you?
Well, every kid did, didn't they?
I didn't run away from home.
I'm going to run away from home.
Join the circus.
And then when you're hungry, you come back. And they're like, where have you been?
Maddie and Sophie kind of ran away and slept rougher a bit earlier this
year,
didn't they?
Yeah, I think it shows a bit more of a serious consequence, but...
Yeah, they get a bucket of water thrown on some of them, didn't they?
I think it seems to be a bit of a war being waged on homelessness at the moment in both countries, because we had all that problems about people complaining. Do you remember that controversy about some place in London putting spikes on the floor so that homeless people can sleep in a doorway?
Oh.
And Boris Johnson was like, this is terrible, and everyone was like, well, why don't you get them somewhere to sleep? And he was like, that's not the point.
I probably would rather be homeless in England than America, though. It just seems a bit scarier over there, especially in New York. I might get knifed or something. No offence, New Yorkers.
I think the point is that you don't get to really pick where you...
I'd be homeless, like, in Florida or somewhere.
I'd like to be homeless in Cornwall on a beach, but only in the summer.
And only for a little bit, and then go back home again.
Oh, no, I mean, I want to go on holiday in Cornwall.
Oh, yeah, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
No,
is it not the same thing?
No.
No.
Yeah, teenagers do run away. We had, who else has run away? Nicky ran away from home. Nick, when he was little, he ran away for a little bit. I think that's just a thing that Coronation Street characters do.
Yeah, drama, like it's I not said. Really. I don't think.
I don't know.
I don't know. We've led charmed lives.
I think that Coronation Street, I get confused about what's real and what's fake. So I don't know.
No, we don't know.
But yeah, thank you for emailing, Amy. Hope you enjoy your Coronation Street tour. And we'll end off with our Tivor email, who says, bonjour, mes amis.
Bonjour. It's actually bonsoir, so... I know French.
Yeah, that's true. We are reading it this evening.
Yep. So she says, Mary reminded Jasmine that she and Roy had a friendship that goes back years. I wonder if that's before or after she tried to sabotage his wedding and then developed a crush on him. Selective memory, I think.
Well, no, they have had a friendship, haven't they? I mean, that's sabotaging the wedding thing. What was that all
was
about?
Just,
that
let was... bygones be bygones.
That was. They were friends before that, but that was when Hayley said that she was... taking it a bit too far. I don't know. I think they have had a good friendship.
She also says, I think rather than shoving bookcases into an overcrowded cafe, Roy should rent out the old butcher shop and set up a little library there instead.
Well, yeah, nothing else is happening in the butcher shop, is there?
I'm surprised that there's not grant money around to sort of set up a local reading scheme or something.
That really could happen, actually. That's not a bad idea. No. That could happen in the future, because the way that it's going at the moment, we didn't really mention it in Street Talk, did we? But on today's episode, Jasmine was just getting more and more books from who knows where and filling them up at any space in the cafe that she should. And Roy's like, oh, I didn't sign up for this.
Well, they're obviously leading towards something, and I don't know where it's going.
But the T-Ball could be onto something, yeah. There, couldn't she? That they open up a little library next door, because it's been closed since the tram crash, hasn't it? When Ashley died.
I don't know.
4 years nearly.
How you would go about doing something like that, though.
What? Opening a business?
Well, it couldn't be a business, could it? Because you can't charge. The whole point of a library is that it's free.
I like the idea. That's true. I don't know how it works, but I like the idea of having it as something for the community rather than just another shop.
I'm surprised that there isn't, because I mean, the areas that I've lived in, there's always been money available for community projects like that, and I'm sure that they could write something in about Yasmin being given a grant to enrich by the field's culture or something.
And then when Ken says, I'm going off to the library, we can actually see him going over there.
See him going there.
The problem with having a library as a set for Coronation Street is that all of the, like, the business buildings or whatever are like communal areas that people can have a gossip and a chat and everything, and you can't really have a chat in the library.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be a library, it would be a community centre or something.
With a book bit.
Yeah, do they not, they don't have a community centre or anything, do they?
No, not anymore.
Well, they should just do that then.
Yeah, maybe that will happen.
Why not? Well, we said they should make a gym and they did, so they obviously listened to us, and everything we say is very important to them.
Tibor carries on. This was about us saying about why did they bother making Ken a vegetarian. She says that it's to show that he's as pompous as he ever was. Not that vegetarians are pompous, but Ken is, and turning vegetarian and starting at the age of nearly 80 to write his own poetry is sheer pomposity. I wish they'd made some point that Adam's illness was from tainted meat or something, and that's why Ken's decided to go veggie. Perhaps organic vegetarianism has helped Adam get well.
It's baffling, isn't it, Ken's vegetarianism?
Yeah, they had the story, well, the few scenes this week with Deirdre not really knowing how to cook, but that's about as far as you can get with it, isn't it? I expect maybe they could have a hilarious story where they all go off to the bistro and Ken has the veggie option and everyone else has the meat and they all come down with food poisoning or something, but... Oh, I don't know, but I think you're right about it, showing his pomposity.
It's just one of these, like,
him and his morals.
One of these funny little quirks that they sort of give everybody, like, oh, Amy's lactose intolerant.
Sinead doesn't drink.
Tracy's only got one kidney.
Yeah.
Etc. Kirk's brain damage. So is Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why?
They had Maxine was a vegetarian, which again was like as a funny storyline for a bit about, oh, she's married to a butcher and she's a vegetarian. Oh, yeah. But I can't remember what other veggies there have been on the street.
If you're trying to say, oh, vegetarians are insufferable bores, then Ken is the perfect choice to beat people around the head with it. But it's not a very progressive idea about vegetarianism.
That's what
is
everyone.
It?
That's Deirdre and Tracy are the only two talking about it at the moment, and they're not casting very good light on vegetarians, are they?
It's silly because no one really cares these days about vegetarianism. I mean, a lot of people complain about veganism and stuff, but it's certainly more people complaining about vegetarians than vegetarians complaining about everyone else.
I know another vegetarian. Who? Lesbian, Spider.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was a veggie, wasn't he? And he was protesting like Ken.
Ken doesn't fit into the past vegetarians of the street. So perhaps they're trying to say, anyone could be a vegetarian.
Did you know that Betty Driver was a vegetarian? He played Betty Turpin. Yeah.
Did not know
that. So all those years she was making those hot pots, those lamb hot pots. She was a vegetarian all that time.
I'm sorry, but you can't make vegetarian hot pot. You have to have lamb in it, it's delicious.
No. It's not what she would have wanted.
Do you remember that thing that they were trying to get a replacement for Betty's Hot Pot on the menu for the 50th anniversary? And one of the suggestions was Sally's Herbie vegetable bake or something.
I thought it was a lamb cobbler or something.
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Who cares?
Vegetarians, eh? I love Deirdre telling Ken off, continues Tibor. And she's right. Ken never listens. He was putting words in Deirdre's mouth and never once did he apologise, not even after she lost her temper at him. She feels abandoned, and even though he left for a good reason, it sounded like he stayed longer than he needed to. Deirdre would naturally feel abandoned regardless of the reasons why Ken left, and she didn't have to carry it all alone. Some of it is her own fault for not telling him, but not all.
Yeah.
It just brings up the question of why didn't he know anyway, because wouldn't he have talked to Tracy or Amy or anyone else over Skype in that year that he was away?
I think they just need to leave this storyline now and never talk of it again, because they've made so many plot holes and inconsistencies and random questions that need to be answered that they don't want to get into. They just raise too many questions with it, and it's not relevant.
And it will bring
We
all know why he was gone.
We all know why he wasn't there. It doesn't need to be part of the plot at all. Just leave it alone.
I hope that Ken and Deirdre,
reconcile.
Come back. Yeah,
me too.
In their holiday in Wales. I don't want them to... I mean, I'm sure that when we see them there next week, there'll be arguing scenes, yeah, and there'll be romantic scenes. But I hope that they come back in a better renewed place. Yeah.
And then that's
it's
it.
Sad to see
they
them
just,
squabble.
They just cut it off. I do, in a way though, I do think it is good that they had this argument, because it is quite realistic that she would feel this way.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, it just, like I said, makes you wonder, well, what was he really doing?
Yeah, she doesn't like it that she's had to be in charge of the house for over a year, and now he's come back and he's like trying to make all the decisions, and
taking over.
Yeah, exactly.
This reminds me of what happened in Japan, where they have such long working hours that very often the husbands don't seem very much to their wives at all, and then when they finally do retire, the divorce rate for sort of retirees is really high, because the wives realise they don't actually like their husbands at all and they don't want them hanging around the house all day, so they just get rid of them.
Let's finish off with, oh no, this is the end of the email. The interesting thing about the lofts over the old houses is that they're all connected except for number 7, which was rebuilt. So this is talking about Tyrone's loft extension.
I was talking about this before.
Yeah, it's because, so she says, the lofts from 1 to 5 are all 1, and from 9 to 13, Les Battersby spent some time creeping from house to house, numbers 1 to 5, moving things around, and people wondered if they had a ghost. Ken chased him up to the loft and ended up falling through the ceiling on top of Leanne and Nick, who were in bed together at number 5. I remember that scene. That was quite funny. They landed on top of their bed, all dusty and everything. Good scene. So unless Jason is going to build walls in the loft, as well as fit out a room, they'll all have a very big space indeed. That's true, and I had forgotten about that when they were talking about the loft extension, but at the moment, yeah, they're all separated out, so I don't know how it's going to work particularly.
I wouldn't like it if everybody's... It's not very secure, is it, to have everybody's loft connected? But that's how those houses were built in those days.
Yeah, is it normal to have...
I think for those style of houses in that era, I think it was quite common.
I just don't understand how they can fit a loft extension
what
room
would
in there anyway.
What would stop you from going up someone's... Going up in a loft, creeping along, coming out of a hole and just stealing everyone's stuff.
Well, yeah, that's what Les Battersby was doing.
I know, but
yeah,
there's nothing to stop you from doing it. No. You don't put a lock on the outside of your loft, do you?
No.
We don't have a loft, so we don't know about these things.
We don't even have an upstairs.
No.
Oh, pity us. Yeah, so or maybe we'll see. Maybe we will see what happens to it. And
I don't think they... I just think they're just going to...
I think they're going to...
pretend that it's a normal house.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a part of Coronation Street history that's rewritten.
Yeah.
So that is the end of the podcast. That is the end of our second anniversary podcast.
Wow, what a great episode.
Yeah.
With the news that Coronation Street is going to be demolished. Brilliant.
But we'll keep going.
Yeah.
Because there's still going to be Coronation Street
there's
on our screens.
There's still another one.
Yeah.
That's the end of it. So
that's
if you want
it.
To email us and let us know what you think about Helen Flanagan's new knickers range and what it should be
or
called.
Or Jenna, if you want to say anything, remind us of anything interesting that
and
Jenna did.
If you would like to suggest a movie that you think that Gail and Michael could have been watching, because this is really bugging me actually, please send suggestions in to conversationstreet@gmail.com, or you can find us on conversationstreet.podbean.com, which is where we post the actual podcast. You can listen to them, stream them there, or you can download us from iTunes, and you can also review us by typing in Conversation Street. You can find us on Twitter at Conversation Street, or you can type Conversation Street into Facebook and find the discussions on our page and like us on that.
Yes.
So that's it for another episode.
Week.
So I'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
The music for this episode was provided by podcastthemes.com.